Hi, I'm Megan Riley, and I am not your normal relationship and sex coach. Remember how he used to look at you? Let's get that back. This isn't going to be about texting the right thing or manipulating him. It's about changing you and you becoming more you. And I am going to be here to help every step of the way. This is the Ignite the Fire podcast.
It's the first edition of the new Ignite the Fire podcast. I am not Megan Riley. My name is Matt Hayes. I'm actually the guy that usually puts this whole thing together. I am here just chatting today, though, with the host, the star of the show, Megan Riley. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Matt.
It's so great to chat with you on your own podcast.
Oh my gosh, it's so great to be chatted with on my own podcast.
This is a little different because normally we just hear your voice and you're interviewing fascinating people who have gone through some fascinating things in life with, you know, different unique ways of looking at life and the universe and how we all are intertwined together, or you're sharing your nuggets of knowledge. But today you gave me the main microphone for something a little different.
Which I am really looking forward to.
We are launching a brand new podcast. I know you have been doing a podcast for a while now, but we're making some changes. You also are making some changes in what you've been doing. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today and find out why and what you're doing and what you're hoping to accomplish. Let's start here. So you've been working on your podcast for a couple of years now, and we know you as a sexual empowerment coach, women empowerment. You're a psychic, and you've been talking a lot about helping women live the orgasmic life and living life to the fullest for themselves. Now you're kind of going in a little bit different direction. You're still talking about that, but you're also digging deep into helping people with their relationships and yes, digging deep into those connections that we have that lead to that orgasmic life. So the first question is, why are you doing this and what sparked you making this change?
So living the orgasmic life is absolutely what I do. This is how I live my life. It's how I wake up in the morning. It is how I coach people. And what I have been finding is more and more women coming to me, maybe with a concern about their sex life. The sex life concern is really more of a symptom of what's really going on.
Ah.
How can we, either if it's this is a long-term committed relationship, bring that fire back? Ladies, you know that way that he looked at you way back? And that like feeling of being cherished and desired and that you were everything. And then life started to happen. Kids happened and jobs happened and animals happened and everything started to happen. And you started investing less in yourself, more in him, more in other areas of your life, looking for him to provide something that only we can provide. And so the more and more coaching that I did with women on living the orgasmic life, the more and more I found the thing that was really missing was relationship and how to bring that fire back, how to bring that look back in him.
So in a way, to be able to live the best orgasmic life one can live, you have to go back a little bit and look at the relationships you have and these different elements in life that can lead you to living your best life. So it's kind of looking at the symptoms of what actually caused why you may feel stuck or you may not feel exactly where you want to be in life then.
Absolutely. And then for women who are looking for their beloved, it's the same thing. My experience is dating the same asshole over and over and over and over again, thinking, how is it maybe if I lost weight? Maybe if I, for me, it was maybe when I got sober, maybe when I changed this about myself or changed this about myself, then finally I would meet a different person. But really, it's the internal transformation. The internal transformation is the thing, lighting that fire that then brings in the perfect partner. It's not that we are changing things about ourselves in order to attract the right one. It's being able to choose the right man and being in the special place about that. A couple of years ago, I was whining to my coach and I was like, I don't know. I just keep attracting the wrong man. What's wrong with me? You know, like really at the effect and very victim-y and talking about all these assholes. So he looked me straight in the eye and he said, no, you keep choosing the wrong man. Oh, all of a sudden it sank that I wasn't at the effect of these men, that there was nothing that was being done to me. It was all me.
In today's day and age, I can hear some women saying, but I don't need a man to be able to live my best life. And I get that, and I understand that, and I think there's a power in being strong in who you are as yourself and not needing that crutch of a man or a woman or a spouse or whatever. What would you say to someone like that listening to what you just said?
Abso-fucking-lutely. We don't need anything. We don't need a man. A lot of us want that partnership, want that connection. And there's a magic point where we hit from wanting, 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 needing, 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 to having that no longer be the case, which then actually brings him in. And just a note, this is not gender specific. So our sisters who play for the other team just replace her for him. It's the same thing. It's all core. And I'm saying him because most of us are then looking for him. And you're absolutely right. There's something that happens, though, in the divine union. So if the divine union is in your heart, if the divine union is with another person, there's something that happens that makes your business rocket, that makes your friendships rocket, that there's something that happens when you can find that union, whether it's a man or a woman or something more spiritual and not in the physical, there is something really magical when we can open up and when we can surrender.
So let's talk about if someone is in a relationship right now and they're not feeling that spark, that fire, maybe they've been married for a while or they've been dating someone for a while and it windles on down as it does happen in life. What have you seen as some of the causes of that? Are there any certain traits or certain things that you see people go through in relationships that cause this, that almost like warning signs that maybe they could have seen or that they are now experiencing that makes them wake up and go, oh, I need to talk to someone. Maybe I need to make a change. How does someone know that they need to start talking to someone?
Absolutely. So there's three things. One is we start complaining. We start complaining to our girlfriends. We start complaining to ourselves. We become resentful of the things that he's not doing, the things that he doesn't notice, the ways that he doesn't listen. All of those start to show up in complaints. Another thing is that we stop filling our own cup. Women are conditioned and trained, and there's a biology to being a mother of not taking care of ourselves. And this is not taking care of ourselves. It's not about makeup and manicures and a massage. Taking care of ourselves is being able to ask the question, how am I and what do I need, and provide that. We stop asking the question, what do I need? And we start expecting him to fulfill those needs. That's the warning sign. The third one is there's just a division. He starts to pull back a little bit. You may even notice his posture changes. So when you first got together and he was looking at you that way, you know, that like it's the two of you and the world is spinning around you and there's nothing else that is happening except the two of you. So his chest is puffed up. He's more masculine. He is providing things. He's doing things for you. He's noticing the things that you need without you even asking. As things start to shift and as we stop filling our own cup, we also start to emasculate them. So their chest is going to be a little bit more caved in. We're going to be the ones initiating questions. We're going to be the ones initiating conversation. He's going to be the one responding in one-word answers. That's a more feminine energy. And a man being in a feminine energy, if he is a masculine core, it's not a happy place. Which also then means probably you, as the woman, have polarized into a more masculine energy. And I don't know about you, but I am not a good dude. I am a great girl, not a good dude. So if you start to notice his posture changes, he is answering in maybe one word answers. You're the one initiating conversation. You're complaining to girlfriends and you stop doing the things. You stop being with girlfriends. You stop going to yoga. You stop going to dance class. You stop being out and doing the things that really fill you, those are all warning signs that something is amiss.
In today's day and age, it seems that masculine and feminine get thrown around in this very polarized way. But you talked about it in an energy sense. Can you explain a little bit about that masculine energy and that feminine energy and why that's important and what the difference is between the two?
I love this. I love this conversation because I have made so many mistakes And when I first started learning about this and first started learning about the masculine and feminine energy was when I noticed what really went wrong when I was young. What went wrong in my marriage was that I absolutely was running the masculine energy. Now, I think this goes back to kind of the social experiment of the 70s and 80s and telling young girls, you can do anything. You can do anything. You can do anything that a man can do. But what we didn't get and the energy that we didn't get and the learning that we didn't get was that we are feminine creatures. We are receiving creatures. And there is something that is available when we can surrender into that divine energy. The masculine energy, it could be a man, it could be a woman. There are women who have a masculine core. And what you want to do is really figure that out. Like, who are you? What inspires you? What energy do you respond to? When I am around a very masculine man, the energy of the masculine is that of providing. Now, I don't necessarily mean financially providing, because most of us, most women right now, can financially provide for ourselves, but we're looking for emotional providing. We're looking for spiritual providing. How is it that he can show up?
You mentioned a term that that caught my ear when you said who someone is. You know who you are, whether it's in the masculine energy or the feminine energy. Is that something that we lose sometimes in relationships? And is that sometimes one of the reasons why we might want to call someone like you? And how does someone lose that sense of themselves when they were so strong and they knew who they were going into it, and then it kind of changes? Or were they maybe not necessarily so confident getting in the relationship and who they were individually as a person in the first place? Or can it be kind of a mix of the both?
I think it's a mix of the both. I think you're right. One is unhealed trauma. We have unhealed trauma, if that is, and trauma can be anything. It doesn't need to be something really, really awful. But if we have trauma of being betrayed, if we have trauma of abuse, if we have trauma, anything that is unhealed, you know, those, it's just like things hanging over us. The parts of us that we reveal as we're starting to get to know someone. Often, it's like a fake intimacy is, let me show you my trauma and you show me yours. Not really doing anything about it. That happens in relationship a lot. Another thing that comes up is selection. We're choosing the wrong person. Falling into chemistry, falling into a relationship. Let's see, mistakes I have made, chemistry, or thinking that some similar interests are enough. Or for me, a big one is music. Shared taste in music does not a relationship make. So then we get in, right? We fall into a relationship, something happens, and then we fall in, and then we're trying to figure it out. And this is not based on shared values. This is not based on growth. This is not based on trauma, being trauma informed. We're just all of a sudden in a relationship. And the beginning, you know, that like fated feel, and you rip each other's clothes off all the time and can't wait just to touch and bond and merge with the person. And then that fades. And what fades, what's actually happening, is the beginning is something to remember of what's available after we work through all of our shit. So then the brain chemicals kind of, you know, they change. They go from epinephrine and adrenaline into oxytocin, and oxytocin is the cuddle hormone. So that's what starts to develop about 18 months to 2 years into a relationship. And that's where a lot of people just bolt. You're not the same. This isn't the same. Really, what's coming up is all the things for us to heal and transform and grow. And when we can do that years later, is the gift of what it was like in the beginning, only with a sense of intimacy and bonding and love.
In many ways, in some relationships, we try to pin the reasons why something is wrong. We instantly just pin it on our partner, when sometimes it might be something internally we need to fix. And that's one of the reasons why. It can go both ways.
Yes. Yes. Our own unhealed trauma, the other person's, how we're responding to what's going on for them. We may respond to a facial expression. We may respond to something that he does or says or doesn't do, or our expectations that we haven't made clear to him, or our needs that we haven't made any request for and he can't fulfill them or hasn't been able to because we haven't asked. Those are all the things that start to go awry. And then years and years worth of resentment and frustration start to build up.
Did you see the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney?
Yeah.
I'm just instantly taken to that scene where after Natalie's boyfriend breaks up with her over text message.
Yes.
And it's, she gets the text message, they're crying in the lobby, and then Alex walks down and then they go have a drink and they're talking about the differences in what they're looking for in a relationship. And it's beautifully done where you can see the older generation who is seasoned and gone through everything versus someone in their 20s and what they're looking for. Because Natalie is going through this long list of, he has to be this tall with this looks, who has this type of car and this type of job and a dog, and this almost perfectly designed envision of a human specimen is who they want to be with. Then they go to Alex, who's in her 40s, and she's talking, pretty much comes down to, I just want a good human being who has a good smile, because all the physical stuff goes out of the way, that what you look for in a partner changes. When someone is in that situation, maybe they're in a relationship and they're trying to see if the person they're with fits whatever it is in their head, or they're starting out. Where is that line between having this almost envisioned perfect person that you're looking for, or do you need to have it a little bit more open, no real specific laundry list of what you're looking for in a partner? And if you do have a laundry list of what you're looking for in a partner, what are those things then that we should be looking out for?
I have been that person who had that list. Very, very much so. That's the coaching that was of, I'd say the last 10, 15 years, is make a very specific list. I even had it. I remember like how tall he was, where he lived, because that, I read something about if you grow up within 500 miles of each other or something like that, you're a better chance of making it work. So I had that all dialed down. Can you imagine a man coming in and wanting to connect with a woman and wanting to have someone who can receive his emotional presence, his physical presence, his spiritual presence, wanting a woman who can receive that. And she is looking at a checklist. Yes, 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 yes. No, 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 no. So what is it really that that checklist would fulfill? Because whatever it is that that checklist would fulfill for us is the work that we need to do. It's things we haven't dealt with. And we're expecting the other person to fulfill those needs. And we don't even know what the needs are, so we can't ask them. What if we did the work on ourselves? Now, this is either in relationship or before relationship. So if you are with someone and you're finding that you have made yourself smaller, if you're finding that you are not full, if you're finding that you are really wanting him to fulfill needs for you, then what we do is we sit down and we go to work on fulfilling those needs. So then when you show up in the relationship, you show up as someone that is whole and complete and wanting to connect and bond with the other person, but without the needy picking, I need you to do this, I need you, I need you. The other thing is being able to go into a relationship being really whole and complete. Now, our healing is never done. Our growth is never done. That's the thing about life. It's all of this process and layers of the onion and layers of the onion. And that's why I invest really heavily into my own personal growth and development, and then have people around me who do that as well, because it's never done. But what if you went into a relationship not expecting this person to fill a need financially, not expecting this person to fulfill a need that you have in your own family that haven't healed yet, or your own lack of friends, or own lack of community, and come having those be complete into a relationship? That's completely different. I am out to change how we relate to each other, how men relate to each other, and how we come to relationship, rather than what wounds can you activate for me and how can I recreate issues that have happened to me for the last 44 years. Rather than that, how is it that we can really come to be together and grow together and have that sense of spiritual, emotional, physical connection that is like no other?
In a way, you're digging deeper into more than just the relationship element of it. You're digging deep into who the human and the person is. So that way they're most confident in who they are as a person. And that way, then that can also spill out more than just the romantic relationship, but then it spills out into their professional life and their personal life and their friends. And it's something so much more deeper than just, you know, who you're going to bed with.
So much. And then it takes away the chemistry part. And what so many women experience is they'll jump into a relationship and then it's very hot and heavy for a while and then it flames out. right? And it's the same asshole. It's the same guy. It flames out and then it's over. And then we're starting all over again. Where really what relationship is being able to see spiritually, emotionally, what is going on for you in that relationship. And I love, there's a line in the Les Mis song, and it's to love another person is to see the face of God. And that's really what we're looking for. What we're looking for is our relationship with God in another person.
I want to talk about the difference between being a relationship coach and a sex coach, because you work on both sides, but they also go hand in hand. So can you talk a little bit about that, of how the two are different, but also work together at the same time?
Sure. Well, a lot of people come to me for sex, but that didn't come out right. That didn't come out right at all. People come to me about their sex life, thinking that if they could just charge up their sex life, then everything about their relationship would be better. Short term, sure, there's lots of ways to ignite the fire in your sex life. But if there's something off in the bedroom, there's something off everywhere else, it usually goes back to complaint. So that's one of the first exercises that I have women I work with do, is write down all your complaints. If something is off in your desire and your desire for him, I bet something is off in what he's doing around the house or not doing around the house. So a relationship coach, what we're going to do is we're going to really dive into you and what's going on for you. Where is it that you are not complete? Where is it that you're not able to ask for what you need? Where is it that you are feeling broken and not healed and always apologizing for your behavior? That's where we go. Now, as a sex coach, there's how to really connect with your partner. How to, when all of those things are handled, when all of those things are whole and complete and you are whole, how is it that you can have that spiritual, sexual, fabulous, like otherworldly kind of experience? That's the sex coach.
If someone wants to chat with you and realizes that they need to make some changes, they want to, you know, better themselves and better their relationships, and they might be in a relationship and before they talk to you, but how do they have the conversation with their partner and be open and honest and say, I feel as if we need to make some changes. I want to talk to someone. And then how do they even have conversations with their partner when they're working with you? Because like you said, maybe they realize something about their partner. They need to have a conversation about something they might be doing, and they need to, you know, get to the point about something to heal whatever it might be, or a problem that they might have with their significant other. How do they go about that? Because that can be scary. You don't know how the other person might necessarily react to being told, this isn't totally right. I want to talk to someone to make this better.
That can be a really charged conversation. So I would say proceed with caution. When we're feeling it's that there's something off, we're feeling like there's something that is not being met. What we want to do is put the responsibility on the other person. Going to your partner saying, I think it's time that we talk to a coach, is probably going to occur to the partner like there is something wrong, is probably going to occur to the partner like they are doing something wrong. So here's what I do when I work with women, and I work with men as well, but mostly women, is we actually write out a script. Here are the things to say about this. Here's what the partner is going to get out of this. And here's how we're taking responsibility for it. And then while we're working together, what I do, because I have given kind of bullet points, but because there is no other person in the whole world who can trigger us and cause us growth and cause a contraction than that of our beloved, communication, while we may mean well, when we get into the conversation with the person, may not come out right. So I actually give a script. And it's based on kind of intuiting what's going on in your relationship, what I have heard. And also, here's the really good part, is the things that we omit. Because what we'll do, what women will do, and some men too, when they're in their feminine energy, what women will do is they will omit pretty significant information in order to make them look better. Like a great thing about working with people and 19,000 client hours is that I have learned how this works, how brains work, and also being able to intuit what is the information that's not being given. So I will give you a script. Here are the things to say, and really, really specific homework. Like we do practices about being able to ask for what you want and need in how to be touched. So very, very clear, specific instructions in, it's going to take me a little bit. And I just joined, you know, a 6-month coaching program. And here's what you're going to get out of it. But I'm going to come to you with requests. And my request is that you help me with the homework, which is not necessarily sexual. It's being able to answer needs, being able to answer questions. And the how to do touch part, that's so much fun.
It's so easy to BS ourselves and justify different things. You are able to help clear through a lot of that. You know when we are BSing ourselves, don't you?
Yes. I know it because I have done it. I know because I have dealt with addiction. I have dealt with addictive relationships. I have dealt with my own codependency. Dealing with those kinds of things, I can see it and I can smell bullshit. And that's one of the things a lot of clients say is, I love your no bullshit approach.
How does this type of coaching affect other elements of someone's life? How does this spill out then to friendships, to kids, to work, to just, you know, going to the grocery store every day? How does someone feel differently? How does this affect other elements of your life more than just what's going on in the house?
Picture this. There's a woman who is frustrated and resentful and has a lot of thought about her relationship. She's thinking about it a lot because it's not working. She's not fulfilled. They're fighting or they're not even talking. And she's thinking about it all the time. And a woman is how her relationship is going. That's just how we are. If we're in a relationship and it's going well, we are going well. If we are not in a relationship and we're not happy about it, we are not going well. If she starts to connect and heal things and start to see things from her partner that she has waited for years to see again, and he starts to show up and he starts to respond to her, what a difference that would make for her walking through the grocery store. What she's going to want to do is put down the phone and actually make eye contact. Probably have a conversation with her Uber driver and really connect. Be able to be present with her girlfriends and have real girlfriend conversations instead of us complaining and kvetching and drinking wine about everything that's wrong in our relationship. We can actually be there in our life. Another thing that is like a side benefit of doing this kind of work, more money. Because when a woman can receive energy, when a woman can receive a man's presence and who he is and how he is, she can receive money.
Do you think that in today's day and age where there's so much conversation about casual sex and people not truly connecting like they used to in relationships, almost as if it's a negative thing, do you think that we have as a society gotten away from being honest about what we truly want in a relationship or in a partner, almost in a way that it's embarrassing, or we feel that if we can't actually ask for what we truly want? Because I know as a guy who is in my 30s and single, I would like to have someone to settle down with a little bit more. Not necessarily maybe get married and have kids, maybe down the road, but it's still, especially after living in New York for so long, you get so used to that stigma of everybody is single, we're just living life, we're mingling, it's fun, it's great and all that. But there's also this underlying fear to just come out and say, yeah, I actually would like to have something a little bit more stable, someone to like a partner in crime in life, because it seems to be that culturally we've been getting away from that.
I think we don't even know what we want. I think Disney and Nicholas Sparks and Lifetime TV movies have done us a pretty significant disservice, where really what we want is to connect with another human being, and the growth that happens in a relationship and the intimacy that happens and the bonding that happens, that's what we want. And we have turned it into sex is good for, finally, it's getting to be okay for a woman to enjoy sex. There's still a lot of slut shaming that's going on, but it's getting to the point where we can have, well, Samantha, Sex in the City, we can have sex like a man. We can treat men like we've been treated. We can, you know, so that's a lot of like the conditioning that's going on the top, when really what we want is real connection. And there's nothing like being able to open and self-disclose and share with someone in that way. And instead, what we do is we go fast food. So fast food, maybe 3 dates before having sex, maybe. Predictably, it's probably going to be the first. And then it's a feigned sense of intimacy. And then we share our traumas and we have more feigned intimacy. And then because there's nothing that's actually built on, we're not shared values, we're not coming to this with a friendship, we're not coming to this with any kind of foundation, it flames out and then we start over. And that's predictable. So it sounds a little backward for me to say. One of the things that I say is no sex until you are in a commitment. And here's why. There is a chemical that gets released during sex for women. So during good sex for women, we release a chemical that has us bond to the person and also has us trust the person. Men don't have that same release unless they are in love with the woman. So men can, we can get into a relationship. We have a release that says this person is trustworthy and that we can bond to them. And this is where cray cray comes, because we haven't really built the foundation. We don't have a friendship. We're not in shared values. We're not about growth. We're not, it's all about sex, right? So then they don't have this release. They don't have this connection and they can move on or stay with us until it's not interesting anymore or the cray cray comes out. And then we heal and we start all over again. So if we can wait and really have a friendship and have shared values and be working towards something and be in a committed relationship and then have sex, it's so much better. It's better sex. It's just like everything's better.
It also seems too that when we're just doing the casual, whatever, casual sex, casual relationships, kind of blowing through everything really quickly, we are avoiding healing the trauma and the problems and those real deep connections and bonds that we have that we want to share with somebody, because we're not actually fixing it. We're just sharing it, thinking, oh, cool, we got it out. That's great. But we know deep down that's still going to be there with the next person after that. It's not a deep, genuine healing. It's like just putting a Band-Aid on the problem, and then you get to the next person and you rip the Band-Aid off, you put a new Band-Aid on, and that's the next person. But you keep doing that instead of actually stitching up the wound and actually fully healing.
And I think that there's a belief that those things really can't be healed. This is just a part of us, that this is just a part of our makeup, of our drama, of our issues. And then eventually, I think the thought is, and this is what I had as well, the thought is eventually there will be someone that meets my trauma enough or can deal with my stuff enough that it's going to work. Instead, what if we really could heal that? And I see it day after day after day. It is possible. Ladies, it is possible. You do not have to keep recreating the same issue and the same drama with the same energy asshole man. And, you know, he's probably not an asshole. He's just wounded as well. We're just keep recreating that over and over and over again. Let's stop and set some boundaries and heal it. Because what comes after is so much better.
This is so much deeper than just, I don't like the way my man is treating me. This is about so much deeper and so much more about your life in general and wanting to have your best life. And the relationship element is just part of it.
And it spreads into every area of your life, being able to heal family relationships. I mean, how much of our family do we just tolerate or talk about that it's the same fight? It's the same drama every Christmas. This person gets drunk and this person has this and this person does this. And then we really don't look forward to holidays. What if our healing in terms of relationship then could spread over into family, could spread over into work? And here's a really cool thing. I very much believe this. I have an experience of this in my own life, and I see this with the women I work with every single day. When a woman heals, she is also doing multi-generational healing. She's healing the women that came before her, and she's healing the woman that come after her, and she's healing all around. The ripple effect goes out because other women see the shift in your energy. The other women see how it is that you're approaching your life. They get inspired by it. And there are women who are competitive and will end up judging and assessing and leaving you. Great. Let them leave and let that ripple effect go, because you don't know how that's going to affect other women around you.
For someone listening that knows they want to pick up the phone or send an email and talk to you and see how you can help. There's sometimes a stigma in wanting to raise your hand and admit, I would like help. It might be uncomfortable to want to pick up the phone or to, you know, have that conversation with their spouse of, I want to speak to somebody and I want to do that. It takes a lot in you just to make that first step. What would you say to someone that is feeling very uncomfortable and not sure about wanting to take that first step?
Well, I think a lot of us think that we are specifically, specially, it is us. We are a certain kind of fucked up and no one else. This is this kind of fucked up. Hard to reach out. And it's hard to say, I think there's something really, really wrong with me. And the thing is, it's not a personal conversation. We all have this. We all have trauma. We all have relationship trauma. We all have these kinds of things. And we need something outside of our specific intimate relationship, something outside of our head, and something outside of our agreeable girlfriends to be able to say, okay, I see the bullshit in this. You are not broken about this. Let's heal this. And let's really have, you know, when I say have it spill out and have an extraordinary life, a lot of people hear that and think, well, that's great, but that's not me. That's never going to happen for me. I can maybe find bits of happiness here and there, but that's not never going to happen for me. That goes back to the belief that we are separate, isolated, and really, really fucked up. And you know what? We're not. Everything that has happened to you and all of your responses, if you look at those, if you really look at everything that has happened and how you've responded, it's been the perfect response. That's not fucked up. The leap, I would say, is first of all, it's not personal. It's not about you. You are not some separate, special kind of messed up. We all are that way, and we all think we are that way. I don't know if you can hear it in me. I'm pretty easy to talk to. So if you can reach out and send an email, we have a free call. We go through, is this something that you want to do? I check to see, are we a good fit? And then when we do that, then we can set up the scripts for how to talk to your partner. Then we can set up how to do all of this and kind of outline what is happening and what is going on.
So tell me about your new one-on-one mentorship program that you're doing.
Okay, well, I've got a couple things. And I love this shit. So one-on-one, what I do, my program is called Ignite the Fire. And it is about really lighting that second chakra fire. So the second chakra is known as the sex chakra, yes. But it's also about emotions and creativity and sensuality. And when that fire is out, so when we start making our man a priority over us, when we start making the kids a priority over us, when we start making a dating a priority over us, that energy tends to snuff or slow down. I don't think that the energy ever really goes out or stops, but it does slow down. So how can we light that fire again? And it's lots of different things, but it really is something that is specific to you. So yes, I have ideas, and yes, I have tools and tricks and all sorts of things that we go through, but it's more like, let's get on the phone and I deliver content. It's not that way. Let's get on a conversation and start to see where you are, what's happening, and how we can fill that. Now, the second week of February, there is a group program starting, which is really, this is what I love about it, because a lot of women, myself included, hadn't healed female relationships. We have mean girl, we have comparison, we have pettiness, I even noticed it at yoga class, like one woman snorting who got into the pose and who didn't get into the pose. How ridiculous is this? And a lot of us have this kind of wounding. So to be in a group with other women, going through this conversation, being able to self-disclose to women, being able to support other women as we heal and as we all ignite the fire, that's a really, really sweet, powerful place to be. Because then we learn it's actually our relationship in our community, and it's actually our relationship with women that meets our needs. And then we can show up for men.
Megan, how can we reach out to you if we're interested in the coaching program or the one-on-one coaching?
There will be a link in the show notes. And my website is MeganMReilly.com. And you can find me on social, all the same, Megan M. Reilly.
This was fun. We're looking forward to new episodes coming soon. And this podcast, I think this year is going to be rather awesome. So thanks for the chat and looking forward to hearing more of what you're going to be talking about this year.
Thank you so much, Matt.